All right, if everyone could find their seats. All right. Amen. Amen. Great to have some visitors here today, some people who haven't been here in a while. My friend Jack, hopefully he's back from Burundi. Jack, why don't you just raise your hand? It's been a while. He just got back from here. It's been a few months. And some others who I haven't seen in a while are visiting. Great to be together in the house of the Lord. And so let us pray, and then we'll get into Luke chapter 18, the parable that Jesus tells of the Pharisee and the publican. Father, thank you that you've allowed us to gather again in this auditorium. Father, as we make this our tabernacle today, the place in which we worship you in song and in the reading of Scripture and in the preaching of the gospel and the teaching of your word, the fellowship of the saints. Thank you, Lord. I ask, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, and all of God's family together said, amen and amen. If this is your church home, you know that in the summer, we always do a summer series because the rhythms of people's life is different. And this summer was, as I called it, a summer of parables. So we've been looking at different parables, which I've enjoyed tremendously because as I was advising someone earlier this week, if somebody asked me where they should start reading in the Scriptures, I'm going to always recommend the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why? Because those are the red letters. That's Jesus speaking. And so the parables are a great delight and a great joy to talk about and to teach. And so this morning we're going to look in Luke chapter 18, this parable of the Pharisee and the publican. It's not very long. It's only 6 verses. Verse 9 and 10 is a certain group, and then the two men, the Pharisee and the publican, are addressed. Verse 11 and 12 is about the Pharisee. Verse 13 is about the publican. And verse 14 is the principle or the lesson that Jesus is teaching to this certain group of people. And although this week the parable of Jesus speaks in direct relation to prayer, the principles and contrasting of self-righteousness and humility are the same as that in the parables of the lost sheep, coin, and son, which we spent the last 2 Sundays on. And Jesus will again use a Pharisee, they were the religious leaders of the Jewish people at the time, and a publican, that's a Jewish tax collector who worked for the Roman government, to illustrate the point and the meaning of the parable. How can you tell if a person is self-righteous or has a spirit of humility? Listen to them. Listen to them speak, pray, watch how they walk, live, and in time it will be revealed. This parable reveals that you can be praying pridefully and ultimately to yourself, and you can also be praying with a heart posture of humility and therefore be justified in the eyes of God. Luke chapter 18, verse 9, Jesus speaking says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, and they were righteous and despised others. Certain, he says. I want to encourage you not to be in this certain group that Jesus is addressing. This is a group of people who trusted in themselves. I love how the NIV says, some that were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on others. Very simple way to understand the certain group of people that Jesus was addressing. This is a major mistake that the church falls into today. Master pastors, social media influencers, false teachers and apostles, being exalted not by God, but by man. Ravening wolves, Jesus said, those are people that desire glory for themselves. I would rather have 70 saved walking in humility and fear of the Lord than 700 seats filled with those that are not seeking Jesus and are trusting in themselves. Trusting in yourself and also trusting fully in others to the point of where they become a little god is spiritual suicide. It's been said the best man, the best woman, is a man at best, a woman at best. The arm of the flesh is rejected by God. It's not to be trusted. It's not to be trusted in. The same, in a far more subtle form, happens in prayer. How do you know? Well, we'll talk about some ways you can identify pride in prayer. And this is exactly what Jesus is talking about. He's using these two men. He's using prayer to illustrate this point and contrast humility and self-righteousness. It says in verse 10, two men went up into the temple, place where you would pray often, to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. This is very similar to Luke 15 when he was speaking to the similar group of people, the scribes and the Pharisees, the sinners and the publicans, it said in Luke 15. So a similar crowd. In verse 11, he'll address the Pharisee first. He says, the Pharisee stood and prayed with himself, God, I thank thee, I thank you that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Did you catch how many I statements are there? If you didn't, there's five. There's five. And we'll look at that a little bit closer momentarily. But how do you know? How do you know if somebody is even praying or walking in a spirit of humility? Well, when it pertains to prayer, I'll give you one way you can tell. They monopolize the prayer meeting. That's one way to tell, because it's not about any individual person. It's about the Lord being at the center. They insert themselves somehow into every prayer. I recall being at a prayer meeting, not here. I was at a prayer meeting someplace else, and I walked into the prayer meeting. It was at night, and I sat down and tried to prepare my heart and listen, and I was there for about 1 hour, and this was a longer prayer meeting, and it's one that happens monthly, and there was a lady there, and every single person that prayed, she inserted herself, and I sat and I said, Lord, show me if this is pure or not. And I'm not one to judge another man's servant, but as a leader, I have to have discernment and discretion. And so as I sat there, somebody would pray, say, oh yes, Lord, do it. Somebody else would pray, she'd grab a tambourine and start going with the tambourine. And somebody else would pray and she'd start dancing in the background. And this is what the Lord just spoke to me after about an hour. She inserts herself into everything. See, that's pride in prayer. You say pride in prayer? Yes. Pride can even be manifested in something like prayer. And Jesus is using that point right now. He's using that example of prayer, a Pharisee. How does he begin his prayer? They're both in the temple or near the temple. And the first thing Jesus said is he's praying by himself to himself. Why? This is not a good way to start off prayer. Take notes on this. God, I thank you. What do you thank God for? That I'm not as these other men. Wow. I pray I don't start prayer off like that. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. See, people who demonstrate pride in general or pride in prayer, they're like wells without water, loud and proud. Volume does not indicate power in prayer. Did you know that? Jesus never said, when you pray, scream at the top of your lungs, and I'll hear you. In fact, the priests of Baal tried that. They started screaming and shouting and dancing and cutting themselves, and nothing happened. And then Elijah called upon the name of the Lord, and then the real fire came. The louder you are, the more God will hear you. The more eloquent the speech, the more acceptable. You ever hear somebody pray in King James language? As if Jesus doesn't understand modern day language? And I'm not saying this to make anybody feel belittled or to embarrass anybody, but these are things we have to consider to help us grow. In what? In humility. And understanding the Lord and understanding His Word. Jesus' disciples didn't ask Jesus, teach us how to preach. Teach us how to speak. Teach us how to evangelize. Teach us how to heal. They said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Well, if the disciples who walked with Jesus asked that, we should be asking the same question. See, they wanted to learn how to pray. And it had nothing to do with volume, eloquence, cadence of speech. None of that was mentioned. Here's what Jesus said. You know it well. This is in the Gospels. We call it the Lord's Prayer, Our Father. Jesus said, when you pray, pray after this manner. Our Father. You give him the first fruits. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, set apart is thy name. Give God the first fruits. Set apart God in prayer to begin with. Don't just make it a request session. You sit down, Lord, thank you. I'm just asking, Lord, that this week you do this and that and this and that and this and that. Amen. And you totally disregarded your Father in heaven, the one who's in control of all things, the good, good, loving Father who says, I know what you have need of even before you ask. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So first, his name set it apart, then his will. Your will, God, as it is in heaven for my life today. Not yesterday, it's gone. Not the future, it's not here yet. Just the present, that my heart, that my would be walking in your will. Give us this day our daily bread, daily provision, his provision, daily. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, or forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive my sin, God, as I forgive others, his forgiveness. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us, God, to what is true, holy, good. Deliver us from what is dark, evil, profane. His leading. Let me go back to the beginning. His name, his will, his provision, his forgiveness, his leading. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. His power. It's all about him. See, when you pray, it's about the Lord. It's about aligning yourself with his will, his ways, his heart. And I'm learning, and by the way, please understand this. Let me make a public service announcement. I am not going to stand up here as a man who's claiming to be a, you know, when people say to me, oh, you're a prayer warrior. I'm thinking, really? Do you think I'm a prayer? What qualifies me as a prayer warrior? Because I'm a pastor? Because I preach? I'm learning and growing in prayer just like you are. And as I learn, I'm understanding some things, and some things I'm learning about prayer is this. Honestly, when it's just me and the Lord and I'm not praying corporately, this room to my right has become one of my favorite places. It's new, it's refurbished, but there's nobody in there but me and God. Jim, I apologize. He walked in on me one day. It was, one is on that side. You could join me if you knock on the door, you walk in one day there. You're always welcome. But it's quiet. It's private. It's not like God will meet me more necessarily. You know, he won't come here or he won't go in your car. But find a place. Find a solitary place. And by the way, I don't bring my phone in with me. I can't. If I bring my phone in, it's going to be a distraction to me. So I walk from my office into that room with no phone. And there's the Word of God in there and there's oil. Not that I anoint myself, but it's just me and the Lord. Find a place. Like Jesus did before he selected the disciples. All night he prayed. Learn. Ask Jesus to teach you about prayer. Here's some practical things, practical prayer tips. Pray for others when you pray corporately. When I pray corporately, I don't pray for myself. Do you know why? I know others are praying for me. And corporately, sometimes people will pray for me right there. And I am so blessed in my heart. Is so touched when people do that. But I'm not going to pray corporately for myself. I can do that in private with the Lord and I. Pray with thanksgiving, not complaining or murmuring. Remember what the Pharisees did when Jesus, when the certain group that time drew near of publicans and sinners, the religious people, the proud people started murmuring, complaining. Why is Jesus speaking to this group of filthy people? That's pride. Don't tell stories or testimonies of yourself in prayer. You've ever had that experience? And maybe I've done it. So again, I'm not trying to be a hypocrite. I've listened to people tell God's stories about their life for 5 or 10 minutes in prayer. And to be very candid with you, it's difficult to engage. You know, Lord, I just, you know, I went to the supermarket, and that woman was there, and Lord, you told me to share with her, and I did, and Lord, afterward, she came, and then, Lord, I prayed, and it's like, hey, okay. Again, not to judge another man's servant, but who is this prayer about? Wait in prayer. Be patient. Don't fear silence, right? In this fast-paced world, everybody's scared. We've got to say something. It's silent. So you just throw something out there like Peter did. He didn't know what to say. Lord, should we build 2 tabernacles? Don't fear silence. Let the Holy Spirit pray. Intercede for you. Pray Scripture. That can't miss, by the way. If you recognize, I ended the prayer today with Psalm 19, the last verse of Psalm 19. You can't miss. It's God's Word. If it's God's Word, it's God's will. I think I told you this before. I was asked in Kenya, well, how do you know if it's God speaking, or how can we hear God speak? I said, very simple. Open up the Scriptures, read it out loud. God's speaking. That's it. It's His Word. So the Pharisee, bad start. Bad start. Doesn't get better. Verse 12. First, he's thankful that he's not like other people. Then he's commending himself. I fast twice in the week. By the way, that's good. Jesus said when you fast. You should fast. But you're not to commend yourself in prayer for it. I fast twice, not once, twice in the week. I give tithes, listen, of all that I possess. This is what I do, God, for you. This is what I do, God, for people. Pride. Pride. Psalm 10, verse 4 says this, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. The I syndrome. Beware of that. Do you know who else in Scripture this parallels? Isaiah 14, 13, referring to Lucifer, Satan. I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the assembly. Sound familiar? Just like this Pharisee. Be careful of I. Be careful of I in prayer. Think of others. Let the Lord give you the prayer, the Holy Spirit. And again, we're all learning. We're all learning. So how do you get better in prayer? You do it more. How do you get better at dribbling a basketball? You dribble more. You know what I used to tell when I was coaching basketball players? Jaden, maybe I said this to you. Do you know how you become a better shooter? Tell me the answer. You shoot more. It's the same thing. How do you get better at prayer? You pray more. And you learn from others who really have spent time with God in prayer. I've learned from men and women of prayer just by watching and listening to them. You also learn what to not do, like this Pharisee that Jesus is using. Pride was kicked out of heaven a long time ago. Pride has no place or value in God's kingdom or economy. None. None. Well, let's make a transition here. Now Jesus goes to the publican. And again, the publican was despised by the Jewish people because they were working for the enemy, the Roman government. That's why Jesus is using this illustration to illustrate this point in the parable. Psalm 51:17 says, the sacrifices of God, listen, are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. The heart position of the person. And the publican standing afar off, probably not feeling worthy to be inside the temple, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote or pounded upon his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Just 7 words. Not a lot of words, but a lot of humility, a lot of brokenness, a lot of contrition. Beating your chest is symbolic of sorrow, mourning, repentance. Often the shortest prayers are the deepest. You ever pray this way? I have. God help. God help me. God, rescue me. God, show me what to do. I have, please, God, God hears that prayer. When it's from the depths of your heart, and it's genuine, and it's sincere, and it's reliant like a child would be, God hears that prayer. That's a guarantee according to His Word. And we're to model that. We're to model that, just like this publican. Listen to what Jesus says in verse 14. He says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. He was just in the eyes of God. His prayer was answered. Just 7 words. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Because what came out of his mouth was in his heart. From the excess, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So this unworthiness, this brokenness that he felt in relation to God came out, and God said, this man is just. He is worthy in my eyes because he recognizes his condition. And you don't, religious person. You don't, Pharisee. In fact, you're the blind leading blind into a ditch. This man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For, listen, spiritual principle. Don't miss it. It's throughout Scripture. Jesus, John the Baptist said, he, Jesus, must increase, I must decrease. Tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be humbled, abased, put low. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. That's a principle of the kingdom of God. That doesn't change. You can't put pride in the pulpit. You shouldn't insert pride in prayer. Pride has no place in the things of God. I love this quote. It says this, the absence of man allows for the presence of God. Remember this meekness, what is it? There's this silent strength that people of prayer have, that people of God. I personally love people of prayer. Because first of all, they never talk about being people of prayer. But it's, you can just, you know, people, the younger people, what is it? Forgive me. Aura? Is that what they say? Whatever it is. Listen, you can sense God's aura, whatever you want to call it. They don't have to say anything. You're around people who have spent time in the presence of God. You can just sense it. You just know it. They walk in humility. They walk in the fear of the Lord. You know what else they do? They listen to others. They're good listeners. They look people in the eye, and you might even see a tear start to roll down their cheek as you're telling them about your situation, because they've been trained in prayer. Jesus has taught them how to pray. They've asked and they've sought and they've knocked, not just for their own selfish ambition and request, but they've said, God, show me how to pray. I want to be closer to you. I want to know you better. I want to empty myself and become like you. Those are people you want to spend time with. The broken, the contrite, the humble in heart. Beautiful lesson in this parable. Beautiful lesson in this parable. A few more practical points. Prepare your heart to pray. I said that. You know, we prepare. I have this phrase I've used all the time, the 5 P's. Proper preparation prevents poor performance. Well, if we prepare for other important things, why would we not prepare our heart for prayer? Prepare your heart to pray. Listen in prayer, maybe more than you verbally pray, if warranted. Speak to God like He is your Father, because He is. He's a really, really good Father. And then maintain a posture of humility in prayer. He hears you. He hears humility, brokenness, contrition. That's what He hears. Keep those things in mind. I'm going to ask the praise team to come back up as I prepare to close. I want to read this to you. Psalm 18, verse 27. You save the humble, but bring low those whose eyes are haughty. I'm very thankful, as painful as it is, for people in my life like Leslie, my wife. Because she'll tell me, you are so proud. You think I like to hear that? My flesh hates it. But I need to hear that. There's times I need to hear that. I need to hear, I'm proud in heart. I'm being proud. Yes, painful to the flesh, but beneficial to the spirit. I pray you have a spouse like that if you're married. I pray you have a friend like that, a family member who can, remember, faithful are the wounds of a friend. The kisses of the enemy are, you don't want to walk with Judas. Pray you don't have somebody who just tells you how great you are. Remember that hymn? How great thou art. That's about God. It's not about you, by the way. That hymn was not made with you or me in mind. It was made with God in mind. Be thou our vision. Who? God be our vision. See, that's why the hymns are timeless, because they're about God. And some of the contemporary, although I love it, it's about, you know, how great we are. And that's when we lose sight and we become the Pharisee rather than the publican. And we don't want that to happen. I want to do something different today. I told you one of my favorite, if not my favorite, room now is to my right, it's your left. I want to give you an invitation to pray. To pray with your brother, your sister, here, who's part of the family of God. You know, there's a couple people here which are from other churches. I told them I'm going to report them to their pastor. Listen, that's not how it works. You belong to the family of God. Yes, you can be a member of SBC. You could be a member of Grace Assembly. You could be a member of CC Westside. Your membership is to the family of God. Ultimately, that's where your citizenship is. If you had a passport, you open it up, it says heaven. You have a sickness or an illness. That's where I went during the break. I felt like the Lord said, go get it. Oil. Just symbolic of the Holy Spirit. It's what the Word tells us to do. You have a sickness, illness, go to the elders of the church and be anointed with oil. There's a parable that Jesus speaks of right before this one where he says, ask, seek, knock. What's the principle? Be persistent in prayer. Your prayers never get annoying or irritating to God when said with a pure heart. So I'm going to ask, as we prepare to close, you can go in the room privately, or maybe you can even just come to the front. This is not something we normally do, but I really feel God would desire that we do this morning because of the teaching and the preaching and the reading and the praise. So I'm going to ask if they're here, the deacons, the elders, if just a couple of them, Bob and whoever else would come forward. And just make yourself available for prayer, publicly or privately, if you want to go in the room. You can just come down to the front toward the altar, or just ask one of the deacons. Come on up, Andy, Bob. Just ask one of the deacons to go in the prayer room. You can keep the door open if others want to come in. And you just come down and pray. You can pray to your Father in heaven, for He cares for you very, very deeply. This is a great opportunity. You know, people always talk about miracles and signs and wonders, maybe in some sections of the church today, but what a gift we have with prayer. What a gift. And so I just want to encourage you today, if you need prayer for any reason, you're ill, not just in body, but maybe you're broken in spirit. Do you know what Jesus said? He said, I came to heal you. You have a broken heart. I came to heal the brokenhearted. Maybe you feel like you're just in chains. Oh, you're not behind metal bars, but you feel like you're trapped. Good news. Jesus said, I came to set you free. I came to set the captive free. Maybe you feel like I just can't see. I don't know what direction to go in. I don't have clarity. I have good news for you. Jesus said he came to give sight to the blind. He's here today. He's omnipresent. He loves you. He cares for you. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. And during the song, if you want to come down, you can to one of our deacons, or if you want to go in the room, or afterwards, you're welcome to take one of us and come and pray with us. We're here for you. God bless you.